College football nerds, and it is college football season, y'all. Offseason flew by for me, but we are here talking Alabama and Miami. Want to plug one quick thing. Obviously, we're going to be releasing previews throughout this week, and we're back in our consistent, you know, recording schedule, but we are introducing something this year that we've never done before. Saturday night's live shows, 10 p.m. Eastern. We're going to let a lot of that action from Saturday get going and get done so we can have something to talk about. Y'all join us. Take a look for our channel, posting a live show Saturday night, 10 o'clock Eastern. Obviously, Saturday night after football games start and end. All right, Josh, let's talk Miami and Alabama. And for me, you know, we always talk about Alabama losing a ton of talent to the draft, and a lot of times it's pretty scary when they don't lose a ton of talent because it means they have ridiculous depth, and that's usually the year that they win the national championship is when they have maybe a disappointing draft. Well, they didn't have a disappointing draft this year. They lost a ton of production, but we've done this dance before where we hear national people say, this is the year that Alabama really takes a step back, and because they lost a lot of talent, and it keeps proving to be false. However, on the other side of the ball, we've got Miami, who returns a whole lot of experience. And in my opinion, I feel like if you're going to catch this Alabama team, you obviously want to catch them early. To me, it's a really good thing that Miami is returning a lot of talent and Alabama is not, if I'm a Miami fan. But tell me, how much of that do you think is important for this game in week one? Does this give Miami maybe an outside chance to catch Alabama before they really get going?
I think the advantage to the Miami in this game is definitely catching Alabama's offense before they have a time to gel. Alabama really is retooling the offensive line. They're retooling a receiver. They have a new quarterback. And with all those pieces, you very often see really capable offenses sort of stall out a little bit. The problem, I think, for Miami is while they do return a lot of pieces, they maybe don't return enough pieces at the right positions to be able to really contain Alabama or to be explosive on the other side of the ball. And what do I mean that specifically defensively? You know, there's a lot made of the fact that Miami returns nine starting caliber players, or nine guys that had starting experience from last year. Some of it was like a game or two here or there due to injury. They also have some transfers. Stevenson's a transfer that played a lot at Georgia. It was a pretty good, darn good player. You get DeAndre Johnson from Tennessee. My concern, though, is while there are a lot of guys with starting experience, it's a lot of experience in the secondary. It's a pretty good amount of experience in the especially the defensive line, with guys that were all solid. I won't necessarily say elite players or really like special guys all around that much. And a lot of, you know, really thin depth at the linebacker position. And that's the thing that I think is concerning, because going into this game with a new quarterback, I think Alabama, you know, historically with a new quarterback has tried to protect him, tried to run the ball a lot. And we saw last year with the North Carolina game that Miami really struggled with a team that was physical at the point of attack and had NFL caliber tailbacks. It's just not something that's really overly common in the ACC right now. Alabama is maybe the one team equipped to replicate that. I don't know if they can do it game one, but my biggest concern with Miami is while there is a lot of depth, and I think there's a lot of depth to deal with teams that are going to be more reliant on the pass, I'm not sure that Miami has the horses in the middle of the field to really just stay with Alabama, you know, play to play and fight the run and not get pushed back and not give up big run plays, because Alabama does have crazy depth on that side of the ball. And then conversely, Miami's offense was pretty good, or an improvement last year, but it wasn't elite. And this Alabama defense does look to be elite. So if Alabama is able to put up, let's say, 30 points, just sort of grinding it out on the ground, I'm not so sure that Alabama is going to give up anything close to that defensively, given what Miami's returning on offense.
Yeah, and the running back room is weird because they lose Najee Harris, and it's still the deepest, I think, by a pretty considerable clip in the SEC. It's pretty crazy. They get Trey Sanders back this year, who they lost last year, five-star kid, who really never got going for Alabama. Lots of injuries. He had the car wreck last year. Is looking to probably be maybe start over Brian Robinson. You talk about the defense, and this is a situation where Miami fans are going to say, look, we've got King at quarterback who's been really solid throughout his career, which, by the way, interesting note for you Alabama fans, King's first recorded stats were as a college quarterback were in the same year that Jalen Hurts was a freshman. So he's going to actually record statistics as a quarterback 6 years. So he's got plenty of experience and he's got a good track record. And what we're going to hear from Miami fans, and they'll be right in saying that mobile quarterbacks have given Alabama fits in the past. To which I would say yes, but it's mobile quarterbacks who are elite passers. You know, Deshaun Watson gave Alabama fits, but it was because he did it with his arm. Trevor Lawrence, same thing, did it with his arm in that one game. So I don't know that that's like that is certainly the place where you got to take advantage of Alabama, and they are turning over a little bit at corner. They're losing who I thought was the best quarterback corner in the country last year in PS2. And I think that they're pretty good at running back, but Alabama is so deep there. So that's what I want to really talk about is, like, if you are Miami and you want to approach this game offensively, like, do you try to really drag it out offensively at a slow pace, knowing that this defense is so good? Or do you have to come out throwing haymakers and try to maybe catch them on their heels early? What's your approach if you had a game plan to make for this game?
I think Miami's approach against Alabama is probably going to be to take as many shots as possible. I don't know that you can lean on the ground game and be overly effective. I will say in the middle of the field, Alabama is not elite. Their defensive linemen, I don't think this year are elite. They're crazy deep. And that's a theme for Alabama that people really have to understand. Alabama's second string defense is an average to above average SEC caliber defense this year. This is probably the deepest unit they've had in 6 or 7 years. And while I don't know that there's really big disruptive linemen, or at least at the start of the season, there don't appear to be any obvious ones. They've got a lot of depth. You're not going to wear them down. But, you know, on the edges and at linebacker, I don't think you can really try to finesse Alabama. I mean, this is probably the only team in the country, unfortunately for Miami, that has the linebacker talent to run down De'Arik King. You have two All-American caliber linebackers in the middle for Alabama. They have not only Harris, who has been sometimes projected to be a first-round pick, but probably easily an early-round pick. And then they took in maybe the best linebacker in the conference in Tuoto as a transfer, which is just sort of unfair. And then you pair that with Anderson, who's probably going to be a first-round pick at edge and maybe a top-five overall pick. And then Allen on the other side, who's also an early-round pick. You've got a lot of linebackers that can actually run down King and contain the edge. So I think you just kind of really you pound the middle as much as you can and see if you can get push, because I think Alabama, past few years, teams have been able to get like 4 yard carries up the middle on them. And then you just take your chances downfield. You know, Wiggins and Rambo are not bad targets. Rambo had a big reception a few years ago in Alabama. They're, you know, you've got guys downfield, and I think you've got to take your shots and try to get points. I think the concern with that strategy is it's a way to maybe get you 24 points if you hit on some things. I don't know that it's a strategy to get 30 or 40. This line is, I think, 19 points. At least that's what I saw when I most recently looked at it. And it's 19 points for a reason. It's because if Miami does everything right, they're going to be looking at, I think, something like 20 to 30 points in a game. And it's going to take a lot of success to hold Alabama's RPO scheme below that. So the margin for error to win for Miami is really slim offensively, and they need a lot of things to go wrong offensively for Alabama to sort of get in the zone where you have a chance to win the game.
Yeah, and you touched on something there that I think Miami fans need to understand if they're really looking at this point spread, and they're not, or anybody that's watching us, I know there's a few of y'all that put some money on these games. In the past, where Alabama has given up a backdoor cover, it's been because Nick Saban runs a very, very confusing, complicated defense that hopes to confuse the offense, but oftentimes confuses his backups. So when they do these line changes because it's a blowout in the third quarter, not saying that's going to happen here, but if Alabama gets up and they start doing these line changes, that's historically when Alabama gives up multiple chunk plays to first or second string offense on the other side. This year, because of that depth, I mean, there's guys like Moody and Wright who are juniors or seniors who have a lot of experience and have started a lot of games for Alabama that aren't going to start. They're going to come in the third quarter. Those guys are hungry too. And they're not going to be as susceptible to the true freshmen that usually come in Nick Saban's complicated scheme and give up those backdoor covers. I don't think that's going to happen here. If Alabama gets up on Miami, I could see it being because the defense has forced some mistakes on the Miami side of the ball and not necessarily because Bryce Young is this end-all be-all, though I think that's a big question mark, you know. And let's talk about that for a minute. Really, really harsh, rough transition into Alabama's offense. But Josh, tell me, because there's such an unknown around Bryce Young, and he's the, you know, he's taken the reins and assumed the starter. We saw so little of him last year. Does he need to be an elite quarterback for Alabama to win and comfortably cover, or is the rest of Alabama so good that even if, you know, he's of the Jake Coker, AJ McCarron era quarterback, you know, right now in their first few starts, can Alabama still win big if he's not really ready and really polished at the position yet?
This is where I think Miami just has a bad matchup fit. The way you're going to beat Alabama, especially early this year, is probably by having high-end disruption in the defensive line against a new quarterback. At least on paper, Miami probably doesn't have that right now. Again, Phillips, Rousseau, Roche, great edge players, and you lose all three of them. And, I mean, maybe the best edge tandem in the country, really, with Rousseau and Phillips last year, and it really made the defense. I think without those guys, unless somebody really surprises me, Miami's going to have a hard time putting pressure on Bryce Young. And if Alabama can have success with a run game and can let Young throw on play action or occasionally without a ton of pressure, he's not going to make unforced errors. And if you let him just throw at a target, he was the number one, number two overall recruit for a reason. I mean, his arm talent is extremely good. And he's going to hit his wide open guys or whoever he has downfield. Now, I don't know really how good Alabama's receivers are or are not. It's a total turnover at that position. I just know that they've got a lot of talent. But in my view for this game, Miami's just not built right to handle Alabama. It's not just a quality question. I think it's a matchup question. And there are teams that Miami can probably play well, teams particularly that don't have overly strong offensive lines and don't have a dominant power run game but are more reliant on especially spread passing attacks, you know, a team that needs to be 60-70% pass. I think Miami can have a lot of success with them just due to the strength of their secondary. And also defenses that maybe don't have great athleticism at the linebacker position, where De'Arik King and the zone read game and the athletes they have in the backfield can run around them. This happens to be I'm not even going to say probably, this is the most athletic linebacking group probably by far in the country, combined with an opposing offense that can run the ball successfully in a really talented offensive line. It's just a bad matchup fit. I guess we can go ahead and start turning around and talking about predictions and whatnot, but it shouldn't shock anyone that I don't really expect Miami to win this game, but I'm also somewhat skeptical that they can even cover the spread, given what I see to be not a bad Miami team at all, but just a Miami team really just going to have to face the complete wrong matchup for what this team is in 2021.
So before we get into the picks, one more thing I'd love for you to touch on. We were talking about this in the in our early discussions before we hit record on this about Rhett Lashley and what he's done or has not done for this Miami offense. And you've always had some opinions about him, even back in his days at Auburn and before. And I'd love for you, before we jump into picks, just to talk a little bit about kind of what we were talking about with Rhett Lashley before we get into that.
I think Lashley is a pretty underrated coordinator. He was the coordinator at Auburn in 2013 and 2014, which Alabama fans would remember with Nick Marshall, and was really effective with a mobile quarterback running a sort of the zone read. And I often talk about this, really Todd Graham's offense that Gus Malzahn had pulled with him when they coached together at Tulsa and for a while ran at Auburn. And then he gets saddled with Jeremy Johnson and Sean White in 2015 and 2016. Malzahn does the thing that Malzahn has always done at Auburn and what got him fired. He tried to run his own spread, which is a primarily passing-based offense from Springdale, Arkansas, and it didn't work. I mean, they had bad, really, really bad evaluations, frankly, on Johnson. And White was a pretty good evaluation, but couldn't physically hold up and then had other issues that made him ineffective over time. But, you know, they just couldn't operate as a passing offense, and all of a sudden Lashley gets sort of sent into the wilderness, ends up at UConn as an offensive coordinator, then SMU for a couple years, where he's moderately successful before he ends up at Miami. I personally will forever wonder how much that 2013 and 2014 Auburn teams really did benefit from him. And maybe we really underestimate how good Lashley is as a play caller or as someone running an offense. And I think 2015 and 2016 Auburn really hampered his career just due to the fact that he was, one, forced to run an offense with just really incompetent quarterback play, and two, probably forced to really run a pass-first offense that Malzahn wanted to run that I don't think he really wanted to. But I think what he's done at Miami has been extremely impressive. He's been a great fit. I think he's an intelligent guy that knows, that's willing to adapt for, you know, 7 years now, has been running RPO schemes and is really obvious. And I think he's been a great fit at Miami. But I think it's interesting correlation, right? Because this is a guy that Alabama fans probably aren't even really fully aware that they are, you know, accustomed to seeing, because he played against or coached against Alabama for a couple years. And for one, I'm kind of happy to see him back at Miami and being successful, because I think he kind of got scapegoated a little bit for what was Gus Malzahn's just proclivity to mess around with the offense more than he should when he felt like things were going well.
Yeah, I agree. I think he got scapegoated a little bit when Gus was just obsessed with throwing the ball, and when all of his success was with the power run game. All right, picks time. For me, I do think that Bryce Young is really good. I do think that this offense for Alabama is going to be not as good as last year, but really good. Really good, like A- for Alabama standards offense. And I think this Miami team is going to be really good, but not at the level, like you said, there's matchups that really, you know, I think Rambo is probably the best wide receiver on this team. And he's not, you know, an elite wide receiver. So I like a lot of pieces for Miami, but I don't like the whole right now in this matchup. And I don't think they're going to get to benefit from the line changes that Alabama usually does. And you're not going to catch Alabama winded with depth concerns like Ole Miss was able to do last year. So I've got Alabama 41, Miami 17, which is a pretty comfortable cover right now. It's 18.5. I expect that to move up closer to 20 by game time. I don't think that's going to get bought down by the public. Tell me what you got.
Yeah, so I have it 37-13, Alabama over Miami, and I'm kind of on the same page with you. When I look back at Derek King last year, he averaged 8.2 yards per attempt, 152 QB rating, 23 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, and that's all a great stat line. But when you go a little further and you look at his stats, it's very up and down. You know, about 11 yards per attempt against Louisville, Virginia, North Carolina State, over 10 yards per attempt against Duke. When they played some more physical, better offenses that were able to really contain the run a lot more, you know, Clemson, Pitt, Virginia Tech, he was sub 7.5 yards per attempt. And I think that's sort of the problem with the style of offense that they're running. And we saw this all the time with what Auburn ran. If you can contain that base zone read inside run play and not have to give up things in other areas, you can often just sort of shut the whole offense down. And I think that's sort of my concern for Miami. And you combine that with what you talked about before, an extremely deep Alabama team, even by Alabama standards, and it's an extremely deep team where, I don't know, you're probably your third and fifth best running backs for Alabama are five-star players. I think that's right. Like, they've got three, right? Sanders, McClellan, and then the new guy, Wheaton, when I was looking at their depth chart. And so your second, third, and fifth best guys are all five-star players. It's a lot like several years ago when they had Alvin Kamara and Derrick Henry coming off the bench. Alabama can run up the score with backups really easily because they have high level players. And if Miami's backups are facing Alabama's backups, the score could just keep increasing. Now, they're going to try to run the ball up the middle, but you're going to have to get to like the sixth string tailback before you're actually really facing anything like a Strub. And I think that's going to lead to some late points. So I think this is going to be kind of closer than the score looks like in a lot of ways. I think Alabama's going to slowly build a lead. The dam will leak somewhere around the third quarter, sort of blow up a little bit. And then at some point in the fourth quarter, I think both teams sort of just shut it down. And Alabama does have a tendency to try not to run the score up in these matchups. And I think that's probably what's going to happen. So I think that does, 37-13, 24-point spread. So I have Alabama covering. I don't think Miami's a bad team. I think Miami's quite a good team. It's just these top five teams, like Clemson was last year when Miami faced them, are kind of on a different level. And that's probably two or three notches higher than Miami is or is trying to be right now. And however Miami's game goes against Alabama, I don't think is any real indication of how Miami is going to fare on the season. Because I think very easily Miami could turn around and, when you look at their schedule, the fact that they miss Clemson, they play at North Carolina in the middle of October. They could potentially be a 9-3 or a 10-2 team and still lose by Alabama by 20 to 25 points. It's just where Alabama is in the realm of college football. And again, just really not a good matchup for Miami and their strengths and weaknesses.
And just to touch on that as we go out the door on this one, we didn't do a lot of statistics in this game, but the 62-26 loss last year against North Carolina, we're talking about this packed running back room for Alabama. Michael Carter and Javonte Williams, here's their stat lines. These are running backs, y'all. 24 carries, 308 yards for Michael Carter, 12.8 yards per attempt on 24 carries. That's a good line. That's an elite line for a wide receiver. This is a running back. Javonte Williams, 23 carries, 236 yards, 10.3 yards per attempt, running the ball. So 544 yards total running the ball. So that's what concerns me is, you have to protect against the Sam Howell when you're playing North Carolina, and you can't just focus on the run. And in this game, they're going to have the same sort of thing. They have to protect against what I think is going to be a pretty good passing attack from Alabama, not as good as last year, which is going to mean you can't focus solely on the run. You can't load the box, and it's going to be trouble for them. All right, let us know what you think the score is going to be in the comments below. Don't forget, we're going to do a live show Saturday night, opening weekend. So I think that's September 4th. Thanks so much, y'all. Have a great week. God bless.